VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us for a News Roundup Friday today here on Crosstalk. We've got a ton of stories here today, and we'll cover as much ground as we can on so many different issues, and certainly a reminding to all of us of the times in which we live, to be understanding of these times and the need more than ever to be sharing the gospel with a world that is in despair, a world that's in turmoil, a world that is following after the dictates of the evil one. And we see a lot of deception taking place in this world. The evil is good, good is evil. And it behooves us to be salt. It behooves us to be light in this time in which we live. We do want to send our condolences to the family of Dr. Vladimir or Zev Zelenko. He did pass away at the age of 48. He is one that countered the government and medical establishment orthodoxy in his development of a successful treatment for COVID-19 that he knew even at the time that he was on borrowed time. WND.com has quite a story on him. Yesterday, his colleagues at Zelenko Labs announced with immense sorrow that he had died after a four-year battle with cancer. In 2018, Zelenko was diagnosed with pulmonary artery sarcoma. That's an extremely rare disease that has a 100% mortality rate. He had open-heart surgery, lost his right lung, then had a very difficult chemotherapy treatment. More surgery, more chemotherapy followed in subsequent years. In an interview with WND in March of 2020, he said he believed after having a foot and a half in the grave that God spared him for a reason. He said, "My purpose in life has really become to try to relieve pain and suffering, not to think about myself." He attributed the discovery of the Zelenko protocol for COVID-19, that is hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, steroids, and other drugs, to divine intervention. He treated 7,500 patients with his protocol and experienced only 3 patient deaths. He believes many lives were saved as his treatment was adopted around the world. He published a peer-reviewed paper of his data showing an 84% reduction in hospitalization of high-risk patients with his outpatient therapy. In the statement Thursday by his colleagues, Zelenko was quoted as saying that without having suffered cancer, he would not have developed his passion for searching for answers that others could be, that others could not find. And without it, he said, "I could not have be held to the persecution and ridicule I received for daring to treat patients. I have looked death in the eye. I've been made ready to meet God." He said, "I fear nothing on the earth." He also recounted how he had used his protocol, how it drew the attention of President Trump at the White House. Matter of fact, he talked about that on our interview here on Crosstalk as well. But there have been a number of physicians around the country that have taken to his protocol, a Z-Stack with zinc and quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C. And matter of fact, I'm going to play just an excerpt from his time on Crosstalk with us that was originally aired, I believe it was in September 13th of 2021, and then we rebroadcast this on October the 11th. He was a board-certified family physician, over 20 years' experience, published in top peer-reviewed journals with world-renowned physicians, the first in the world to develop therapeutics against COVID. He is the doctor who recommended President Trump take hydroxychloroquine, also treated the president of Brazil, we understand. Provided White House counsel to the White House personnel, multiple governments, hospitals, physicians, public figures, nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, been recognized as a hero at the Department of Homeland Security committee hearing. And he was with us on Crosstalk, and just want to play one little excerpt from this interview that we had with Dr. Zelenko.
One of the most concerning other concerns, issues, is that there was a leaked study from Japan, a Pfizer study, which was not meant to be in the public, but it was leaked. It was called the biodistribution study. The lie that Pfizer tells you is that the vaccine stays in your arm wherever you get the injection. The biodistribution study was actually used to measure, actually, does it go to other places in the body? And it actually travels to every organ system. And do you know which organ system it goes into the most? The ovaries. It collects, this vaccine collects the majority of which in the ovaries of women. So what is that going to mean to fertility over time? That hasn't been evaluated. So that's a problem. And now the most, and everything I just said pales into comparison to what I'm about to tell you. World experts like Dr. Luke Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for discovering HIV, he's a big boy, is screaming that this is the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity. Dr. Robert Malone, who invented this vaccine, is telling people, don't take it. The government is lying to you. Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was vice president of Pfizer and the head of their vaccine development program, said it's like this. And this he told me directly because I'm friends with him. I spoke with him. He said that for every one child that dies naturally of COVID, 100 will die from the vaccine.
Oh, my.
It's 100-to-1 kill ratio. So let me ask you a question just as a side point. How do we define, and I'm not joking, how do we define child sacrifice? I think everyone would agree that if I cut a throat of a child and let it bleed out, that's a sacrifice. Or I throw a child into a volcano or off a cliff. What is the difference if I take a healthy child that has no risk from a virus, has a near 100% chance of recovery with no treatment, and I inject into them a liquid that has a 100-to-1 kill ratio compared to that, the risk of death compared to that, getting the actual virus. Wouldn't that be classified as child sacrifice?
My. That was a brief excerpt from our interview here in Crosstalk with Dr. Zev Zelenko. I'd encourage, it was a full program in which he was providing information. He called it a genocidal treatment, even the COVID shots. And if you would go to our website, crosstalkamerica.com, and just put in the name Zelenko in the search engine there, and you'll find the interview to go back and listen to it, especially in light of where we are today in all of this and all the deaths that have been happening, these mysterious deaths and so forth, which, as Dr. Valit said the other day, no, they're not mysterious. We know exactly why they're taking place. But to go back and listen to it, and if you did not hear the interview, you don't have access to go online, call our switchboard. We make copies of Crosstalk available for donation of $6 and ask for the interview last fall with Dr. Zelenko. You can hear it in full. We did not even have time for phone calls on that broadcast. He spoke the entire program on Crosstalk as we had the topic, the COVID shot versus alternative treatment. Thousands have downloaded that program and listened to it or passed it on to others. Again, you'll find it at crosstalkamerica.com free of charge. Or if you need a CD, call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Also, just a reminder to continue to be praying for Dr. Ed Heinsohn from World Prophetic Ministry. He's in the cardiac ICU, and the family would just really cherish your prayers right now. For him and for the family as well. No other update than that at this time. Okay, let's go on to Newsmax.com. President Joe Biden yesterday proposed that U.S. senators remove a legislative roadblock to restoring abortion rights that were taken away by the Supreme Court last week. He's saying that we need to temporarily lift the Senate filibuster. Well, and it's being rejected by aides to Senators Sinema and Manchin. Biden told a news conference at a NATO conference in Madrid that we have to pass laws making abortion a right in all 50 states. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. We should just provide an exception for this. Without sufficient votes in Congress to suspend the legislative filibuster, his statement is more of a gesture than a policy plan. As we mentioned, spokespeople for both Manchin and Sinema, who have opposed suspending the filibuster, said that their positions have not changed. But they're going to great lengths for this to take place. The director of the World Health Organization, this is a Tedros Ghebreyesus, he's calling Roe versus Wade reversal a setback. I mean, the evidence is irrefutable. As Director Tedros said on Wednesday, restricting abortion drives women and girls toward unsafe abortion, resulting in complications, even death. And he was criticizing the Supreme Court ruling. He said it should also be noted that before he was elevated to his present position, he was a member of the Ethiopian Marxist organization known as Tigray People's Liberation Front. Not surprisingly, UN leadership positions are dominated by socialists of various stripes. He said, we really hadn't expected this from the U.S. He said, we had really hoped that the U.S. would lead on this issue. He expressed concern that other countries might be inclined to follow the leadership from the U.S. and enact similar measures to restrict abortion, saying, quote, the global impact is also a concern. If safe abortion is illegal, hear that? If safe abortion is illegal. Now, how safe is abortion? Folks, there's always a fatality. Okay, abortion is a fatality. The killing of the child. He said the global impact is also a concern. If safe abortion is legal, then women will definitely resort to unsafe ways of doing it, and that means it could cost them their lives. We're going to be hearing an audio clip coming up here as well. Yes, I think I can get this in before the break. This is a very interesting clip here coming from a Saturday interview on NBC News' Kate Snow at the Aspen Ideas Health Conference with the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, suggested that his agency is considering providing taxpayer-funded transportation to women seeking out-of-state abortions. Snow asked Becerra what steps the administration is taking to help women in response to the Supreme Court's reversal of Roe v. Wade. Let's listen in to that part of the interview.
What are you doing concretely in response to the court's decision to try to help women?
Well, we're working with centers like Planned Parenthood. So we are restoring funding for Title X family planning services. We are working with supporters on the ground to make sure that we are providing services to women where we can. We are looking into everything, including assisting in transportation, something that HHS doesn't typically do.
Can you do that legally?
Talk to me later.
That's a big question, right?
I always tell my team at HHS, if you've done your homework, then we have no right to do mild. And so we're going to be aggressive and go all the way. And I would tell you if you're recording, so I won't tell you. So
this is all on the record, yeah. Mr. Secretary.
We are looking at every option, and among those is transportation.
What, say that again?
We are looking at every option, and among those is transportation.
Transporting women to other states.
You know, folks, it's amazing to what lengths they will go to kill an unborn baby. We will pay the transportation costs to take you from your state to another state in order for you to murder your child? I mean, folks, this is outrageous, what is being proposed by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And there's so much more, but guess what? He wouldn't say it because he would be on the record. It was being broadcast. It was being recorded, and he did not want what his words were to be for the American people to know. It's outrageous what is going on and to what extent this administration is going to kill innocent human life. I mean, doesn't this follow the Bill Gates model, whether it be that about limiting the population? I mean, it's outrageous, folks. And do you know where that money is going to come from to pay for these transportation costs? Friends, your wallet just got a little bit emptier. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Friends, we're in a time of lawlessness. Certainly immorality abounds. No regard for law whatsoever. No regard for morality in this land. And here to have the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Becerra, talk about providing transportation to take women across state lines to locations where they can go and kill their child. It's outrageous. The American Family Association put an action alert out yesterday, or Wednesday rather, about Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's Sporting Goods, and I'm reading from the release, could not wait to brag about their anti-life stand following the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade last Friday. Within minutes of the SCOTUS announcement, Dick's executive chairman, Ed Stack, paraded the company's decision to provide up to $4,000 in travel expenses to any employee, spouse, or dependent who chooses to get an abortion. In an urgent public message via Twitter, Stack touted the pro-death policy as something to be proud of, effectively demonstrating the death culture of the sporting goods retailer. When asked if Dick's would also be giving $4,000 to employees who decide to carry their babies to term and either keep them or put them up for adoption, Stack and his company refused to answer the question. No, it's all about killing the children. Now, where is Dick's Sporting Goods going to get this $4,000 from for every woman employee or spouse of an employee or dependent of an employee? Oh, it must come from the profits that they make on their goods. I wonder what the American people will think about that. And not only Dick's, but the Federalist is also reporting shortly after the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe, large companies such as Bank of America, BlackRock, Dick's Sporting Goods, Disney, Goldman Sachs, H&M, Macy's, Nike, Nordstrom, and Snap all pledged to pay thousands of dollars for their female employees to kill their babies in utero. Under the guise of expanding health care policies, big businesses all over the nation are going to great lengths to ensure that they don't have to deal with pregnant employees and maternity leave. Even before the Dobbs decision was released, big businesses like Airbnb, Amazon, DoorDash, JP Morgan Chase, Levi Strauss, Microsoft, Netflix, PayPal, Reddit, Starbucks, Tesla, and Yelp had already promised that they would cover the travel cost of their women workers to get abortions in different states, reports the Federalist. It's no secret why the woke human resource departments at these Fortune 500 firms and Wall Street giants want to ensure their female employees remain childless. For one, it's cheaper than granting working mothers maternity leave and then giving them the flexibility required to stay engaged as a parent and an employee. Second, and relatedly, a lot of these companies believe childless women are more productive and better for their profitability than mothers would be. The Society for Human Resource Management admitted as much in recent coverage of the Dobbs ruling. You see, it's easier and more cost-effective to subsidize abortion because they think only childless women are profitable. Is that where they're going with this? The Daily Caller tells us that the Office of Democratic New York Attorney General James demanded in a Tuesday letter that Google exclude crisis pregnancy centers from search results about abortion, claimed that Google had been previously informed about inclusion of crisis pregnancy centers and demanded that the company address what she called misinformation in a Wednesday release. The Epoch Times reporting two cases regarding lower court rulings on abortion bans and a third abortion-related case were thrown out of the Supreme Court Thursday in light of the Roe v. Wade being overturned. Federal appeals courts in Arizona and Arkansas had made rulings that invalidated abortion bans in those states. Well, a third case in Indiana involved parental notification abortions. After the Supreme Court's decision overturned Roe, the cases have now all been returned to lower courts to be reconsidered in light of the Supreme Court's decision. The Gateway Pundit reporting that 84 lawless prosecutors from 29 states signed a joint statement vowing to disregard the Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, sending it back to the states. The lawless group of leftist prosecutors includes several Soros-funded prosecutors from an array of states, like Kim Cox from Chicago and Chessy Bodine, the impeached prosecutor from San Francisco. There's Alvin Bragg from New York City, Keith Ellison, a Minnesota attorney general, Dana Nessel, the Michigan attorney general. Oh, yes, here's also John Chisholm from Milwaukee County as well. LifeNews.com reporting that you can add West Virginia to the list of states where babies are protected from abortions following the Court's ruling, the state is now abortion-free after the last abortion business there has stopped killing babies in anticipation of the state quickly passing a law to ban abortions. And also from LifeSiteNews.com, Planned Parenthood announced Tuesday it's discontinuing abortions in Tennessee in the wake of the Roe v. Wade reversal. Lord willing, on Tuesday, we'll be joined by Brad Mattis at Life Issues Institute. We've interviewed him several times previous on this, and we'll be covering more of these issues. But I would like to also mention here from our home state, Governor Tony Evers and the Attorney General Josh Call, flanked by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin personnel, filed a lawsuit in Dane County Circuit Court alleging Wisconsin's law that criminalizes most abortions is not enforceable. This is from a press release from Wisconsin Family Action. Jelaine Appling, president, responded. And by the way, their headquarters firebombed as a result of the leak of the Roe reversal. Jelaine said, "Well, I'm not at all surprised that a lawsuit has been filed. I am definitely disappointed in Attorney General Josh Call. His job is to defend Wisconsin law, not to challenge a duly enacted statute that he and the governor disagree with. This is obvious pandering to Evers and Call's political allies." The Center Square reporting that elected leaders in St. Louis, the location of Missouri's only clinic licensed to perform abortions, introduced a bill today to use federal COVID-19 funds to facilitate women's access to abortion hours after the state law eliminated non-medically necessary abortions. So, yeah, let's use our COVID relief funding from that. Where does that come from? Oh, yes. Now, from your pocketbook there as well. Let's see. This is a story that came out from WND.com. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention knows which hospitals are riskiest, but it's hiding that information from you. The feds seem to think that they work for the hospital industry, not for you. Whenever a hospital has a superbug outbreak, the CDC conceals the hospital's identity, referring only to Hospital A. A lot of good that does patients looking for safe care, especially patients with compromised immune systems or cancer. It's no joke to find out after you've already in the hospital that a superbug is raging room to room or has invaded the nursery where your newborn will be placed. That's what happens when the CDC hides outbreaks. Now the CDC is playing statistical tricks to hide how many people have caught COVID in hospitals and to block the public from seeing which hospitals have had the biggest problem. Isn't that interesting? Don't want the people to know about this. Want to make sure this stays in the dark. It seems to me that there's a scripture verse that says that men love darkness rather than light because why? Their deeds are evil. American Military News reporting hours after a former White House aide's hearsay testimony under oath that former President Donald Trump lunged for the steering wheel and grabbed the neck of a Secret Service detail for defying his demands to return to the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Two witnesses to the alleged altercation are now prepared to testify that the allegations are false. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows aide Cassidy Hutchinson, who was not in the vehicle with Trump at the time, relied solely on hearsay, testified to the House January 6 committee on Tuesday that Trump grabbed the steering wheel of a Secret Service vehicle on January 6 when his team refused to take him to the Capitol, where he had just encouraged supporters to peacefully and patriotically protest, reports AmericanMilitaryNews.com. Hutchinson's testimony was challenged when NBC News chief White House correspondent Peter Alexander tweeted Tuesday evening that a source close to the Secret Service tells me both Bobby Engel, the lead agent, and the presidential limousine SUV driver are prepared to testify under oath that neither man was assaulted and that Mr. Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. What are they doing bringing in hearsay? She wasn't even in the vehicle. And yet it's like, OK, we've got to stop everything. We've got this special revelation that's going to come. We've got this bombshell witness that's going to come testify to the committee. Well, I think as we saw on PJ Media, they said any reasonable person would conclude the story was dubious. The liberal media, however, not so much. CNN gleefully described it as a bombshell. And like so many other Trump bombshells, it appears that since it did not happen at all and is yet another hoax to add to the pile of bogus anti-Trump stories. Like, remember the collusion issue? Let's go to Western Journal. Former January 6 key witness unexpectedly dies hours before the special hearing had warned of professional agitators. The U.S. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, who oversaw the Senate security during the January 6th Capitol incursion, died on Monday at the age of 71. This is former U.S. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stenger. A veteran of the Marine Corps, served 35 years in the Secret Service before joining the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms in 2011. He helped ensure the smooth functioning of the Senate during the last 3 years of former President Trump's administration. What's interesting, and he did resign after the January 6th issue, but during a February 2021 hearing with the Senate Homeland Security Committee, Stenger had called for the investigation of the role of professional agitators during the incursion, the Daily Mail had reported. And speaking of January 6th, a very troubling story. Pamela Geller had it here today from the Epoch Times just when the wife of one incarcerated January 6 prisoner believed things couldn't get any worse. The Department of Veterans Affairs has now informed her that they're going to suspend all of her husband's benefits. According to U.S. Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas, he said this is what you have when vindictive leftists get in charge of major parts of the government. In an unsigned letter from the VA dated June 13th and appearing to originate from the Director Regional Office, Angel and Kenneth Harrelson were notified that the administration received information from the U.S. Department of Justice that Kenneth had been indicted and charged with seditious conspiracy. The letter further noted that pursuant to 30A Code Section 6105 Parent A, that forfeiture for subversive activities after receiving notice of an indictment for the above offense, the VA must suspend payment of gratuitous benefits pending disposition of the criminal proceedings. And if found guilty, they're going to have to pay everything back, going back to January 6 of 2021. Epoch Times is reporting that the Supreme Court followed up its June 23 landmark ruling for the first time, recognizing a constitutional right to carry firearms in public for self-defense by issuing a series of rulings June 30th, yesterday, reversing federal appeals court decisions that upheld gun restrictions in California, New Jersey, Maryland, and also Hawaii. In unsigned orders, all four cases were remanded June 30th to lower courts for further consideration in light of the court's June 23rd decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Barron. And by the way, the attorneys who represented the Second Amendment case, no longer part of their law firm. Kirkland & Ellis, LLP, one of the largest law firms in the country, is dropping all Second Amendment cases after pressure from clients and other lawyers at the firm. This left the two primary attorneys who successfully argued the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. versus Bruin before the Supreme Court with no clients and no jobs. We understand that they have gone into business now for themselves, but represent the Second Amendment. Guess we don't have room for you here either. And Monday, we find out that the California Attorney General's office confirmed that it leaked thousands of gun owners' private information, including their full name, their races, and their home addresses. The California Rifle and Pistol Association suggested that the leak was intentional, slamming the Attorney General's Office of California as vindictive, sore loser bureaucrats. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. There is so much that is going on. We could have actually done a two-day series with a news roundup this week with the volume of stories and matters that are going on. We're just talking about California and this release, this document dump of private information, of personal information of those with the concealed carry permits, like their names, their home addresses, their race, their dates of birth. The date that a permit was issued, whether this person was a police officer or a judge. And then also the day after the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional for states like California to use a proper cause standard to deny concealed carry permits. CNSNews.com reports that California's attorney general has instructed attorneys and law enforcement to instead employ a good moral character requirement as justification for denying the permits. Yeah, using guidance regarding another means of denying permits, it's because the court's decision in Bruin does not affect the other statutory requirements governing the public carry licenses, issuing authorities must still prove that the applicant is of good moral character, must be of good moral character. Folks, that's what we need in D.C., isn't it? Leadership that has good moral character. Certainly that this topic that they put in there for Second Amendment right does not, I don't find it in the Constitution here, folks. Military.com reporting that the Army tossing its mandate for potential recruits to have a high school diploma or GED certificate. On Thursday, the service announced that individuals may enlist without these previously required education certifications if they ship to basic training this fiscal year, which ends October 1. That was last week, Thursday. Now, I find it interesting because we're going to find that's changed, but a story that came out right after that, matter of fact, the story came out yesterday from Front Page Mag, the military facing the worst recruiting environment since the end of the Vietnam War. The Army is only 40% of its recruiting numbers for the fiscal year, despite raising its maximum enlistment bonus from $40,000 to $50,000. It now offers new recruits up to $10,000 for showing up to basic training in 30 days. We have never offered $50,000 to join the Army, Major General Kevin Vereen, head of the U.S. Army Recruiting Command, said. While the Army runs lesbian wedding ads, it's pushing away the recruits it needs, young patriotic men from traditional backgrounds. When the Biden administration's brass decided to mandate vaccinations, they automatically rejected the 60% of potential recruits who aren't. By Obama's second term, male Army ROTC cadets were being forced to march in women's high heels. Under Biden, that's escalated to mandatory transgender pronoun training while figuring out living arrangements for men who suddenly decide now that they're really women. The Army has stopped worrying about winning wars and is instead working to establish the Army as a global leader of DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. Obama's Army Secretary Eric Fanning had already ordered mandatory implicit bias training for soldiers and employees in senior leadership and management positions. The Army is now preparing for the prospect of accommodating men in women's housing and deploying HIV-positive men. While the Army brass complains it cannot find recruits, even with gay wedding ads, transgender housing, and HIV-positive deployments, it's been kicking out unvaccinated soldiers. Well, just reported today, July 1, is a report that has come out from American Military News that this past Wednesday that the U.S. Army quietly reverted back to its longstanding requirement for recruits to have their high school diploma or their GED. Shooting ourselves in the foot over and over and over again. WND.com, President Biden and Dr. Fauci have touted the Pfizer drug Paxlovid as an effective treatment for COVID-19, but Fauci, the federal government's top infectious disease official, said Tuesday that he experienced a rebound of COVID symptoms after he was treated with the drug, DailyMail.com reported. In fact, Pfizer's own trial data showed that the drug may not be effective for people who've received a COVID vaccine. As is typical of the Omicron variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that are currently prevalent, Fauci has mostly mild symptoms, including fatigue, but he said that when his symptoms became slightly worse, he began a 5-day course of Paxlovid. After the drug course, he tested negative for COVID-19 3 days in a row. However, when he tested on the fourth day, the result came back positive. Justin Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister, the Gateway Pundit, said during his recent appearance that unvaccinated people will suffer from the consequence of their decisions. There was an interview on CBC Radio's The House. The Prime Minister defended his unconstitutional vaccine mandate and tyrannical Emergencies Act that resulted in anti-vaccine freedom convoy protests in Ottawa. He was quoted as saying it was their choice and nobody ever was going to force anyone into doing something that they don't want to do. But there are consequences when you don't. You cannot choose to put at risk your coworkers. You cannot choose to put at risk the people sitting beside you on the airplane. By the way, news out of Israel, CBN News reporting that Israel's parliament officially voted to dissolve itself on Thursday, bringing Prime Minister Bennett's governing coalition to an end after months of political crises and triggering the country's fifth election in 3.5 years. 3.5 years. His coalition partner and former defense minister will assume the role of interim prime minister and lead a caretaker government until the elections take place November 1st. And then Prime Minister Bennett formally announced his intention not to run in the upcoming election for the 25th Knesset. Oh, let's see. News going on with NATO here. Repainting of Army Humvees. There's kind of the Western Journal story here of a rush job to be repainting the military RVs from a basic olive drab to a basic olive drab. This is from the desert colors, and doing it to the woodland green can serve as a primer paint for camouflage. Not sure if the vehicles the story is saying are going to be headed to the Pacific, the islands in the Pacific, or forest in Europe. Kind of an interesting developing matter taking place there. Oh, a progressive California city votes to defund the police. This is from townhall.com. A crime-laden California city takes measures to not stop more crime from happening, but give criminals more leeway. In a 3-1 vote, the West Hollywood City Council voted to defund the sheriff's department, despite the mayor and the council members voting against the decision. Home to the famous Sunset Strip, the decision will leave the city with at least four fewer cops on patrol, as the city recently approved a motion to keep bars open until 4 a.m. Boy, isn't that just a winning combination. Western Journal reporting death invaded New York City's Upper East Side Wednesday night. A 20-year-old woman was shot to death while pushing her 3-month-old baby in a stroller. The baby was unharmed. 8:30 p.m. in the evening, a man approached the woman from behind and shot her once in the back of the head at point-blank range at Lexington Avenue and East 95th Street, according to the New York Post. The woman was found unconscious but alive, but died at Metropolitan Hospital about an hour after she was found. People are getting frustrated and fed up with this going on, not only in New York, and people are leaving New York in droves, but also Chicago. Western Journal reporting Chicago used to be the kind of town. No more, says Gary Rabin, who is joining the list of people and corporations moving their businesses out of the crime-drenched city. Amid a 35% increase in crime over a year ago, business exits are on the rise, according to Fox News. Billionaire Ken Griffin is moving his hedge fund firm, Citadel, out of the Windy City. Caterpillar, the construction company, that's the construction equipment company, is forsaking its Chicago area headquarters to move to Texas. Boeing is also moving out, leaving Chicago for Virginia. Next in line is Rabin, the founder of the Rabin Group and office of 13 businesses, moving out of Chicago. Amazing to see what's going on there. Let's see. This is two illegal immigrants, as a Washington Free Beacon, have been arrested for their alleged role in the deaths of more than 50 migrants in San Antonio. Prosecutors filed criminal complaints against two Mexican nationals on Tuesday evening in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas, charging the men with illegal possession of a firearm by an alien illegally in the United States. Police arrested the men following an investigation of the registration of the semi-truck containing dozens of migrants, most of which died from dehydration and exhaustion, found by a nearby pedestrian. At least 51 found in the truck have died. The worst migrant death incident ever recorded in the history of the United States. Senator Ted Cruz, put President Joe Biden on full blast for his open border policy by addressing the suffering, the chaos, the misery that his administration has caused. He had a press conference, this was like a week ago, calling out the Democratic hypocrisy consisting of Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris for implementing policies that have resulted in a man-made crisis, bringing in millions of illegal migrants, deadly drugs, and sex trafficking into the United States. Here's what Ted Cruz had to say.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's open border policies are producing suffering, chaos, and misery. They are producing Americans being killed by the scourge of fentanyl. They are producing little boys and little girls being repeatedly sexually assaulted by human traffickers. They are producing crime and death. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's open borders policies are making your families less safe. Last year, in calendar year 2021, we had over 2 million people cross the border illegally. It's the highest rate in 62 years. This is a man-made problem. This is the direct result of political decisions Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made.
He also said this.
Lindsay and I serve on the Senate Judiciary Committee. In a year and a half, we've had zero hearings on the crisis on the southern border. The Senate Democrats, they don't care. We've had four or five hearings on amnesty. The only thing they care about is more amnesty, because as they see it, every illegal alien is a future Democrat voter. And it's cynical, because their view is if more children have to get physically and sexually assaulted to help them at the ballot box, so be it.
A very frustrated Ted Cruz speaking out. Western Journal reporting that the pick for Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Ed Gonzalez withdrew from consideration for the role Sunday. This was President Biden's pick. The Harris County, Texas sheriff announced via a Monday post on Twitter that he had notified the Biden administration of the decision, saying, "I arrived at the decision after prayerfully considering what's best for our nation, my family, and the people of Harris County who elected me to serve a second term." He withdrew after domestic violence allegations have stalled the process. Also, we have from the Gateway Pundit, the Biden administration has signed a five-year lease to house illegal alien migrant children at the luxurious 100-acre campus of the closed American Hebrew Academy in Greensboro, North Carolina. The first children are scheduled to arrive in July. And a very frustrating story here from Western Journal. A California court has ordered the release of two alleged drug traffickers less than a day after they were arrested with over 100,000 fentanyl pills, Fox News reported. Tulare County law enforcement arrested two individuals, both in Washington State, after stopping their vehicle. The two men were found with 150,000 fentanyl pills in their vehicle, their station reported. Investigators estimated that the total amount of drugs that the men had would sell for $750,000 on street value. They were booked into the county pretrial facility on charges of drug possession, but law enforcement received a court order demanding the men be released after 18 hours. We'll be back here in just a minute. Friends, if you'd like to comment on these stories here today, our phone number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Our Friday News Roundup continues.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Lawrence Sullen was on my radio show. He's a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel, along with Bill Federer. They're warning about the fact that Joe Biden is turning the U.S. military against the American people. He's purging the military. He's used the COVID vaccine shots to do it, not honoring religious exemptions. He used critical race theory to do it, and the different branches of the military even had stand-down orders while they purge people out who would not agree with or celebrate the LGBTQ agenda. Why would anyone purge the military? Because they have plans to use the military against the American people. History backs this up. So what do we do? Colonel Sullen, in his latest article, is saying we need a state guard. He's not talking about a national guard. He's talking about an individual state guard, such as they have now in Florida and Texas. Why? to defend against a tyrannical central government. I'm Brandon House.
Friday News Roundup here today on Crosstalk. I can't forget this story either from Fox News that came out yesterday about House Republicans demanding an answer from the Biden administration on grants to promote atheism worldwide. Several House Republicans demanding answers about this grant program that they say will promote atheism worldwide. Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks of Indiana led the letter with 14 of his colleagues. The notice of funding opportunity was officially titled DRL FY20, fiscal year 20, IRF promoting and defending religious freedom inclusion of atheist, humanistic, non-practicing, and non-affiliated individuals. Banks and the Republicans wrote on this. It announced a competitive process that would award grants up to $500,000 to organizations committed to the practice and spread of atheism and humanism, namely in South Central Asia and in the Middle East, North Africa, they continued. Well, let's get to your phone lines. I've got more here before me, but let's see what you have to say. We're going to begin with Greg in Illinois. You're on the air, Greg.
Well, we just suffered through Pride Month for yet another year. And in honor of Roe v. Wade being overturned, I think it would be great if in 2023, Christians united and we changed it to Life Month in honor of Roe v. Wade being overturned, and more importantly, the 65 million plus babies that have been murdered since 1973. That'd be a great thing to pray about.
Yeah, Life Month. Good idea. Thank you for calling it in. Kip in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jim. Just a couple of quick things here. I wanted to comment on Javier Becerra. Well, actually, it's been about a year ago with him. You know, he's Catholic, right? And he was asked about his stance. He was challenged about his stance on abortion, and he said, well, my mother prays the rosary for me every day, so I'm okay.
Wow.
And also, I had a thought here a while back, and I'm not being dogmatic or anything, but if these people want to depopulate the world so bad, perhaps God's going to help them out a little bit when the rapture occurs, do you think?
Well, that would certainly bring about depopulation, no doubt, Kip. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Arvid in Westby, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. For lack of a better term, don't these idiots that want to transport people for abortions, don't they realize they're killing potential customers of theirs?
Yeah.
And I think shame on the ELCA for being so lame and not speaking out against abortion and supporting Black Lives Matter and open borders. Thanks for your program.
Thanks for listening. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Well, there's so many scriptures come to my mind as I listen to you. One is iniquity is abounding.
Yes, it is.
The reprobate mind. And men seem to just love death and violence. That's a sign of that's coming to my mind now about Noah. Oh, may God help us. May people really, and I want it too, make sure I'm not lukewarm. Because Jesus said he's going to spew us out of his mouth if we're lukewarm. Truly, may God help everybody to make their kind election. Sure, we don't know. I'm afraid judgment's coming to America. I want to be ready, and I am praying.
Thank you for your call here, and I really believe judgment has come to America. We're seeing it around us, but it's going to get a whole lot worse. Thank you for the call. We have Monty in Iowa calling. Monty, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, this was a good number of years ago when I joined the John Birch Society. A fellow gave me a book called Two Worlds, and it was comparing ancient Rome to the United States, except you didn't know that doing the comparison at the time that you read it. You didn't realize it until afterwards. But it was talking about the evils of communism, and anything goes for the cause of communists: lying, stealing, cheating, even murder.
Yep.
As long as it furthers the communist cause, it's okay.
You've made a great point. We've done several interviews with Bill Federer on socialism leading to communism, and it's all part of the playbook to get us to that point.
Yes, it is.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for your program.
Thanks for listening. Anthony in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Jim. Thank you so much for all you do. Just a comment about maybe someone could, if Joe Biden's so for abortion, you know, doesn't he realize if he would have been aborted when he was a baby, he wouldn't be here. So, you know, that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And thank you for your call here today. And, you know, just to hear the likes of, what was it, AOC earlier, I mean, just appalled at the Supreme Court reversal of Roe v. Wade. And as she, you know, rise up and take to the streets. And we were born for such a time as this. I think about this, AOC. Think about what you're saying here. We were born for such a time as this. You know, a troubling story here, too, from LifeSiteNews.com. And all these parents that are taking their little toddlers to drag queen story hours and to they've even happened farm days and so forth, and farmers markets is what I meant to say, in some cities here, even in Wisconsin. But a drag queen who danced for kids has been charged with 25 counts of child pornography. Truly troubling story. This I believe this one is out of Texas, so you'll find it at LifeSiteNews.com. Let's go to Ohio. And, Jim, you're on the air.
On the abortion issue, the test will be, will there be less babies that die in the next 12 months than there was in the last 12 months? And if not, then what's the reason for all these distractions in the court? I mean, there are major big issues that are being ruled on, and I think it's to take the focus off the genocide that's being carried out right now.
Okay.
And it's going to be that's my comment.
Great. Thank you for that. And we'll see what impact that the shots have as well on those between 6 months and 5 years of age. And our final call today from Ashland, Kentucky. Go ahead. You're on the air. Is that Nick or Mick?
Yes. I would like to comment on why no one's talking about the value that these babies, they're like, you know, getting $50,000 a baby to abort these babies. And no one's talking about that part of it.
Who's giving $50,000 to abort a baby?
Whoever it is that's paying out for them.
Well, who is that? I mean,
Well, there's a lot of global stuff going on. It's these Satanists that want this fetal hormones and all these.
Okay. Thank you for the call. I'm out of time here on the program. Indeed, there are those committing abortions. I'm not aware of anybody paying individuals $50,000, though, to get it. But, folks, we do live in perilous times, and behooves us to live lives godly before Jesus Christ. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. Be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church this Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.